In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God,
have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever.
be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful and eternal God, your holy apostles Peter and Paul received grace and strength to lay down their lives for the sake of your Son. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit, that we may confess your truth and at all times be ready to lay down our lives for him who laid down his life for us, even Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
First reading for the festival of St. Peter and St. Paul is from Acts chapter 15. The Son Man came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go to Jerusalem to the apostles and to the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses." The apostle and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter, and after they had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me. Simon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. After this, I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruin, and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, will make these things known from of old. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles to turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols, and from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood. For from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, who publish peace and bring new good news of salvation.
Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world.
The epistle is from Galatians chapter 2. Then, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and sat before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaimed among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And for those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised. For he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that grace had been given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I believe in one God.
Who for us men cross under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus builds his church on the rock of St. Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thus, Jesus, not St. Peter, Jesus is the foundation of the church, the chief cornerstone that the builders reject, the solid rock upon which broken sinners are shattered and remade in his image, having been gifted with faith from above to receive the testimony of the apostles and confess the truth about Jesus, who he is, what he has done, and what he continues to do. The question Jesus asks St. Peter is still relevant today. It will always be relevant until Jesus returns in great glory on the last day. Who do you say that I am? There are a variety of answers given to that eternal question, even as there were in that day, so there are still today. But there is only one correct answer. Jesus is not one of the prophets. He is the prophet, the one to whom and about whom the prophets pointed and testified. He is not a faith healer or a medicine man. He is not a magician or a spiritual guru. He is not one of the priests of old, but the high priest. He is not an earthly king, but the King of Kings, to whom all power and authority has been given over heaven and earth. Jesus is a man, but not just a man. He is the God-man, Yahweh incarnate, in the flesh, come to save sinful mankind with his perfect life and sacrificial death. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior promised in the beginning, who came to crush the serpent's head and reconcile mankind to God, which he accomplished at Calvary. And Jesus is the only Savior. There are no others. There is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. All of this is what it means to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we could add much more. But all of this, and the more we could add, is revealed very clearly in Holy Scripture. The reason so many people continue to answer the question incorrectly is not because God is holding out on us and keeping things hush-hush so that only a select few can unlock some great mystery. It's because they do not know the Scriptures and have no desire to learn them. They're perfectly happy with the Jesus they've created in their own imaginations, the Jesus that they've molded from the folklore and the opinions of men and what their own hearts want, for they have fashioned him after their own desires. That's why people get the question wrong. It is not that it will be on Judgment Day that anyone can say, "You didn't tell me who you were." Instead, all will know that they had been told, and those who rejected him will have great grief and regret. Here's a question that goes hand in hand with asking, "Who do you say that Jesus is?" What do you say Christ's church is? Or another way to say that, or to ask that question, is, where is Jesus today? How you answer these questions will go a long way to determining whether or not you answered who Jesus is correctly. For the church is the kingdom of heaven. It is where Jesus and the apostles and all the saints and angels reside. It is the hospital for sinners, where the medicine of immortality is applied as a healing balm for body and soul. It is the house of the Lord, where Jesus feeds his lambs upon the sweet honey of his holy word and holy sacraments. It is the gate of heaven, where the called and ordained ministers who serve in Christ's stead and by his command are given the keys to lock heaven up to those who refuse to repent and cling to Jesus in faith, and to unlock heaven to those who do repent and cling to Jesus in faith. The church is where Jesus is, where he fulfills his promise to be with us always, even to the end of the earth. In our day and age, probably the biggest misconception people have about Jesus, and when I say people, I don't just mean non-believing people, but even people who claim to be Christian, the biggest misconception they have about Jesus is that he's gone. He's not to be found on earth. He's seated on his throne, and they always point up there somewhere in heaven. The only way to find him, they think, is through their hearts and minds, their emotions. If they can just feel him, somehow they can be with him. It's why worship is the way it is in most of the Christian church here in America, even among Lutherans. People are trying to get to Jesus, who's up there somewhere. But all of that is a lie. It's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Jesus doesn't need to be found at all. He's not just up there somewhere. He locates himself in his church and tells us in no uncertain terms that that's where he will be for us. Not in some emotional and heartfelt way, but really present among us at the font, pulpit, and at the holy altar. This is Yahweh in the flesh, the same Yahweh who has always located himself in the midst of his people. The same Yahweh who told his people to build a tabernacle, because that's where I will be. The same Yahweh who told the people to build a temple and to build inside that temple the Holy of Holies, because that's where I will be. Jesus is present on earth. He's in his church. He's not in your hearts or your imaginations or your minds or your emotions or your me and my Jesus times, but he is really present where two or three or more are gathered around his holy word and sacraments in his holy church. Really present in his actual, real, physical, concrete body and blood, which he gives to Christians to eat and drink for forgiveness, life, and salvation. Both St. Peter and St. Paul knew this very well, as did all the apostles and all the saints who came before us, the saints who are now gone from this earth but are still with and live in Christ's church. St. Peter and St. Paul both knew that this was the reality they were called to preach, that Jesus is not gone, but present in his church to save, that the gospel should be preached and the sacraments given out by them as though Jesus were working through them, because he is. Neither of these great apostles was worthy of this great task, of course. For St. Peter denied even knowing the Lord on the night when he was betrayed and went and hid as he was being crucified. And St. Paul was the biggest enemy of Christ's church in the early days, leading the persecution against those who belonged to the way, Jesus, and even standing by in approval as St. Stephen was stoned to death before his eyes. But the Lord of the church, Jesus Christ, restored both of these sinful men brought them to repentance and faith, and sent them out to gather his sheep into the flock of his holy church. And he did this through the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. And St. Peter and St. Paul did just that. They went around preaching Christ crucified and resurrected, and by the way, here he is in his church. They did that right up until the day they were martyred, for confessing that Christ, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. St. Peter being crucified upside down, and St. Paul being beheaded with Roman steel. But the testimony of these two great apostles of our Lord, St. Peter being the leading apostle to the Jews and St. Paul to the Gentiles, continues to this day in Christ's church, where their Holy Spirit-inspired writings continue to preach Christ crucified and resurrected for sinners, where they join all the prophets and apostles and saints of all time in not only preaching to sinners who Jesus is and what he has done for them, but where Jesus continues to tabernacle among them in his flesh to do for them salvation that they cannot do for themselves. Who do you say that Jesus is, O sinner? Are you tempted to believe the plethora of lies, the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh, along with many other sinners, tell about him, that he is just one in a long line of spiritual gurus, or that he's a mere teacher of morality, or that he's kind of like a 1960s hippie dude who just wants you to be happy and be whoever you want to be, and so forth? Repent. There is only one correct answer to that question. Repent and believe the testimony of St. Peter and St. Paul and all the prophets and apostles and Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and confess the truth, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, your Savior, who came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and became man to live and die for you, that you might live forever in his kingdom. And what do you say about Christ's church? Are you tempted to believe the plethora of lies the devil, the world, your own sinful flesh, and other sinners say about it? Namely, that the church is nothing more than a spiritual community of believers in Jesus who access Jesus on their own, however they wish, through their hearts and minds and emotions, however they want to access him. Or will you confess the truth? That the church is where Jesus is. That the church is where Jesus locates himself for you. That the church is where Jesus comes still today to save sinners, to create faith and to sustain faith in repentant sinners who turn to him by the power of the Holy Spirit to be their Savior. Church is found wherever the Holy Gospel is preached in its purity, and wherever the Holy Sacraments are administered according to Christ's institution. That's what we Lutherans confess in our confessions, and it is true. This is what Holy Scripture teaches us. The church is where the gospel is, because wherever the gospel is, that's where Jesus is. And wherever Jesus is, there is the kingdom of heaven. And so it is, mystery of all mysteries, heaven is found on earth. Heaven and earth come together so that Jesus and all the saints and angels are with us, and we with them, when we are gathered together in his church. All of that is to say, Church is pretty important, dear friends. It's not something that should be considered optional. Somewhere you go only if it doesn't conflict with other plans you might have. It is where you receive your lifeblood as a Christian, where you continue to walk in the way who is Jesus. It is where Jesus visits you with his grace, mercy, and love, where he absolves you of your sins, teaches you all that he has commanded in his word, and gives you to eat of the bread of heaven, the eternal food necessary for lambs to enter his kingdom and join him in a divine communion, washed in his blood, to remain his forever. And Jesus will continue to visit his people, where he says, in his church, via the holy word and sacraments, until the end of the age, when he returns in glory on the last day. That's a guarantee. If churches continue closing around our country, even if our little church should close someday, due to disinterest and lack of support by Christians who have other things to do with their time and money, Jesus will find a way to continue visiting his remnant with his divine and salvific gifts. He will not lose any of those whom the Father has given him. He will bring in all the elect of his kingdom to dwell with him forever. That's a promise. The gates of hell shall not prevail against Christ's church. Jesus promises that, and he is always faithful to his promises. And he promises you this day, as always, in his church, that you who come to him in repentance and faith are forgiven, that eternal life and salvation are yours. As a seal of this promise, as Dr. Luther said, he gives you his flesh and blood to eat and to drink, that you might continue all the days of your life confessing he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he is here in his holy church, just as he promised to save me. St. Peter had the right answer. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That answer didn't come from him. He didn't give the right answer because he was bright and thunk it up himself. He gave it because the Father revealed it to him through the power of the Holy Spirit as the word was preached to him by Jesus in his church. Same with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. For all the baptized of the Lord, that daily we be given grace to read and treasure our Lord's words to us and put them into practice in our lives, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our congregational family, that they would be delivered from all indifference to God's word and to his mission, and become a people who hold that word sacred and gladly hear and learn it, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president and all in authority in our land, that they be given wisdom to meet the challenges before them in ways that are faithful to God's commandments and helpful to our nation. And for all in our armed forces, including Gabriel Blair, Derek Brown, Dustin Majewski, Christopher Schaub, and Justin Wyborn, that the Lord would grant them patience to bear all that he has given to them in order to protect our land, that they would serve with honor and courage under his protecting hand, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who cry out to the Lord for his mercy and healing upon their lives, especially for those who have requested our prayers, including Joan Birch, Bill Harmon, Marlene Wiltshire, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Shirley Curry, Scott McCollum, Landon Culp, Charles Shaw, Margaret Doobie, Lloyd Doobie, James Whiting, Maxine Call, Albert Call, Phil Warsop, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Schaub, Pastor Dan Chambers, Rosemary Reichert, Sally Messer, Michelle Johnson, Matt Boffman, Chris Woodrow, Miriam Sohn, and Cameron Snell. That the Lord would grant them patience to bear their afflictions with grace and with trust in his unfailing love for them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who receive today the foretaste of the feast to come, that in this most holy Eucharist they would partake already of the joy and peace of heaven and grow in their hunger to taste it evermore. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the saving faith, let us give our thanks, asking that we would be brought with them to share in the endless joy of the Lord's great banquet. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
These things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of him who both died and rose again, Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You once proclaimed your saving promise through the prophets of Israel, and by the apostles and evangelists, you published the good news of your saving promise fulfilled in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Grant that we, being instructed in the doctrine of the blessed apostles and evangelists, may faithfully eat his body and drink his blood and declare his salvation to all the world. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
very body of Christ given for you. The 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 very body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
of this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.